Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, March 29th. And the Locked On Lions host is going to be joining us today to drop some knowledge on Detroit sports. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, an Associated Press writer out here in Chicago covering the NBA. Been following the Pistons as I've been curating a newspaper career for over a decade. Newspapers are those old things that your parents used to read on Sunday morning back in the day. But today, we're going to be talking about the Washington Wizards in advance of Thursday tonight's game at Little Caesars Arena against the Pistons, the possible return of John Wall to the lineup for the Wizards. I've also got some thoughts about Kevin Durant, kind of a non sequitur in some ways, but we also have our interview with Matt Derry, Diesel of Detroit Sports Radio, the host of the Locked On Lions podcast. He's going to be talking Pistons with us, UAD Titans, and also, of course, the Detroit Lions. D's always has great takes on everything, and it's nice to get his opinion on this basketball team, one that he's followed so closely over the years, especially when he was right in the thick of it for WDFN and The Ticket, and also 105.1 throughout his career in Detroit radio. But like I said, the Washington Wizards come into Detroit in a game that could clinch them a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs, if my math is correct. I think I'm certainly actually true that know that it's correct. Scotty Brooks talked about it in his press gang-bang the other day. The Wizards beat the Spurs on Tuesday to snap a three-game losing streak. They are chasing down Indiana, 1.5 games behind the Pacers for fifth place in the Eastern Conference playoffs, being chased by the Miami Heat, who is down 1.5 games from Washington and Miami in seventh place. Like I said, John Wall had left knee surgery several weeks back and is reportedly on the verge of a return to the lineup for the Wizards. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the short term and medium term, because Washington played surprisingly very well without him, going 15-11 so far without him in the lineup. And like I said, tripped up a little bit recently, but there was a stretch where they were sharing the ball and playing really well. And I know Bradley Beal had some quotes that were maybe a slap in the face, really, to John Wall, saying that they were sharing the ball a lot better. And maybe he didn't mean anything by it, but it was kind of the rumors of NBA gossip and infighting in the team a little bit there. But Wall did travel to Detroit. He's here with the team. And according to the team, he's going to be listed as questionable on the injury report for tonight's game. They might get word after shoot around on Thursday about his status. No need to rush him back, but they want to get him to get some regular season minutes as soon as possible. There's a chance he may not play tonight. He might be held out for Saturday's game against Charlotte or whatever else. But also on Thursday, Milwaukee is playing at Golden State, and a big one for the Pistons. Fading playoff hopes. Kevin Durant is supposed to be back for this one. And speaking of Durant, I checked out the Bill Simmons Show, the podcast with Kevin Durant. I listened to it on Wednesday. It's the fifth time that he's been on there, kind of a mailbag and no holds barred questionnaire from The Ringer's Bill Simmons. It was a very bizarre interview. He does these things and he just goes, you know, like I said, no holds barred and nothing held back on it, being, you know, completely real or whatever else. But which apparently for him, just being real just means being a huge ass in these interviews. He just seems like a supremely unlikable guy, which has been one of the surprises of this NBA era in terms of the superstars and how their careers have unfolded over the years. He was a soft-spoken and quiet guy early in his career, and a switch just flipped, and I'm sure that he would blame it on the media, just like he blames everything else on the media. But like I said, it's just kind of bizarre. And I'm not saying I want or need my NBA superstars to be in a box, or that there's something wrong with them being an outspoken. Actually, quite the opposite, in my opinion. I love these guys sharing their opinions, but his opinions are the things I have a problem with. The things that he complains about, the way he fires back at Bill in some of the interview questions while the conversation was going on, the perceived lack of respect from everyone, including the person that he's being interviewed by, it's just obnoxious. I was going back and forth on my text with my friend Jason, a listener of the pod, by the way. What's up, Jason? About it. And I want to hear what you guys think about it. Are you on my side that Kevin Durant comes off completely like an ass, or maybe am I looking and seeing something that's not there? If you listen to it, and I request you do if you got the time for this exercise, let me know what you think. Reach out to me on social media. Let me know if you think he's How does he come off? I think he's kind of like acting like a tough guy, and it's kind of strange because he's obviously not that guy. It's a weird thing. I've got a lot of opinions about Kevin Durant, by the way, and I'm sure we'll get into them as the playoffs go on. Anyways, the Pistons need Golden State to top Milwaukee and to, like I said, the Pistons themselves to beat Washington tonight to keep the tragic number, the reverse of the magic number, at 4 and not let it go any shorter than that as it pertains to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pistons, by the way, right now one game ahead of Charlotte and the LA Lakers, who are virtually tied winning percentage-wise right behind Detroit right now. Of course, that's relevant for ping pong ball purposes in the lottery. The Pistons desperately want to get one of those top three picks so they don't lose it to the LA Clippers. Another long shot, just like the Pistons' possibilities of getting in the playoffs are a long shot as well. I mean, we're talking about below 5% chances for both of these things happening. But also, programming note, as we mentioned the other day, there's a really strong chance that we will not have a Friday podcast this week. I'm going to be traveling to Detroit early this morning, and I might not have the time to put one together. But then again, I might. Who knows? So I might surprise you and do one for Friday. And if it is, it might drop a little bit later on in the day. But either way, obviously, we'll be back first thing Monday morning to talk about the Pistons' trip to New York to play the Knicks and the Nets, and also about how the drive did, the Grand Rapids drive against the Raptors 905 on Friday night in a one-game playoff series in the G League, and then update you on if the Bucks were able to help the Pistons at all this weekend by losing and possibly extending the Pistons' chances of reaching the playoffs. But like I said, interview a little bit here with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio, the host of Locked On Lions. Thanks to Matt for joining us. But if your company is interested in reaching that very important demo of 18 and 44 males, your company should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by all those guys, 98% men, 80% between those ages. If you want to listen to the or want to reach those men, this is your spot. Plus, we got reasonable rates. So go ahead and email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
And we are now being joined by Matt Derry of Locked On Lions, the host there, and also you can find him on Twitter at Derry Speaks. You know him from Detroit Radio over the years. Matt, thanks for taking the time today.
No problem, Matt. Good to hear your voice, buddy.
And you have covered the glory days of the going to work era closely for the Pistons for WDFN back then. Now, when you look at the current ownership and management of the Pistons, do you see, is there like a deficiency or something they are lacking? Or is it just like players and fit and roster and basketball problems for them right now, you think?
You know, Matt, I'm not as close to it as I used to be. As you referenced, my days at DFN doing pre-app and post-game, and then we moved to the Ticket, and I went kind of with the team there, and then also at 105.1, albeit I wasn't doing pre and post there, but sometimes I was around the team for a long time, and you ask a very good, you know, opening question here. No one, nothing will ever duplicate to me Bill Davidson and the kind of impact that he had both in the community and with his team, and just how people around him wanted to work hard for him, work well for him and with him. And so, yes, when I look at the current edition of the Pistons, and again, I'm not as close to it, I'm just a casual fan. The way I see it is, yes, sometimes the fish rots from the head, and you do need to have that leadership at the very top. And unfortunately, this owner is far away and in California and seems to have made relationships with the players, namely Andre Drummond and now Blake Griffin, where it's very difficult to, you know, be on the same page, I think, sometimes with management if you're as close to the players as I think Tom Gorris is. So, yeah, I do think that part of the deficiency of the organization does start at the top, unfortunately.
And as you look at it on the court, and like you said, you're probably catching games every now and then, especially since the Blake Griffin trade, when there was maybe a spike of interest for a week or two there until another losing streak hit the Pistons. Do you think that there is a way that this group, when you look at Drummond and Reggie Jackson coming back and Blake Griffin, do you think there's a way that they can fit on the court next season? Or do you think that it might have to get worse before it gets better someday down the road?
Well, you're now locked into, Matt, these three contracts, and I'm not so sure you're going to be able to move Reggie Jackson's deal, Andre Drummond's deal, or even Blake Griffin's for that matter. I'm interested in seeing, you're right, a full season of those guys together, but unfortunately, Griffin and Jackson are always injured. So, you know, do I think they could make the playoffs next year? Well, if those three stay healthy, well, yeah, you better. You're playing in a weaker conference. They should be in the playoffs this year, and they're not. So, you know, look, I think you're kind of stuck in neutral at the moment with this group. I don't think there's a way that you're going to be moving any of these people. So you're going to have to kind of go for it next year. The issue, obviously, is who's going to be their coach and whether or not they make a change at coach, GM, or whatever. But to me, you know, to kind of answer your original question, I'm a Blake Griffin fan. I don't think he is the superstar he was 3-4 years ago. His athleticism is not what it used to be. He's not jumping out of the building like he used to in the Pistons sort of lack athletes that can rise. So do I think they can make the playoffs next year? Yes. But I do think if there's a way you could blow it up, I would go that direction. I just don't think there's a way right now.
Yeah, I guess the one move that maybe if you look at those guys, it's possible that Andre Drummond gets moved, but then, you know, who wants him with that type of player and this type of NBA? At least he kind of lives up to what the numbers of the rest of his contract look at, and it's a big deal, but at least, you know, he's an all-star two of the last 3 years, and possibly you could maybe find some team that needs some rebounding and maybe a team that's been around that playoff number and could use a tweak. Maybe that's the guy that could get moved. But like you said, Stan Van Gundy brings up a whole new set of questions. If they can't make any moves or they aren't able to, or maybe even don't want to roster-wise this summer, it seems like he might be the guy to go if they don't think that they're in the right direction. But do you get a sense? I mean, is there any way of knowing how they feel when you talk about guys like Arne Tellem or even Tom Gores about what direction that Stan Van Gundy is taking them as coach of this team right now?
Yeah, I don't know. And again, I'm not close to it like I used to be. And I'll level with you, Matt. I haven't been to a game in 2 years. I didn't go last year. I didn't go this year because I'm not that interested. I'm really not. And you know me. I mean, you and I work together. I love the NBA, but I don't find this team interesting. And I thought about maybe going down there when they got Blake Griffin because I do like him, and I think he's a tremendous person too. And I like what he has said publicly about, hey, I feel like I'm with a real organization now, because with the Clippers, there were some definite issues there. He's got some bitterness. They promised him the world, told him he was going to retire as a Clipper, and then you trade him 4 or 5 months later. That hurts. So there's some bitterness there. I get it. But where this is sort of going, with Andre Drummond, you bring it up. You know, 2 out of the last 3 years, he's been an all-star. And I've known Andre since he was a rookie. I like him. But he doesn't give max effort every night. There are nights you watch and you see a guy that is not diving on the floor, not active. And I think he's been better this season. There's no question about it. Last year was a train wreck for him and the free throw woes. And he's improved there. But is he going to be making the kind of impact for a max big that should be elevating this team to more victories? That's the question. And he hasn't done that. You know, Reggie Jackson's an interesting tale. And again, trying to move other players, would I try to move Stanley Johnson? Absolutely. But it's those draft errors, the two big ones, not taking Devin Booker over Stanley Johnson and not taking Donovan Mitchell over Luke Kennard. That's just a killer because they were right in front of them. And these, you know, Donovan Mitchell's contract and Devin Booker's contract, those are rookie deals that are their gold. And the Pistons don't have those deals and won't have that deal this summer, because they've traded that first round pick. So it's a tough spot to be in right now. Like you said, you've got to hope next year Drummond breaks out and is even more dominant. Jackson is healthy and Blake Griffin kind of gets his legs back under him.
But another team that you followed closely over the years is the UAD Titans, and they fired coach Bakari Alexander the other day. What's your reaction to what's going on in McNichols?
Oh, it's horrible. I really feel for Bakari because there's a lot that has not been said and told that I have not confirmed all of it yet. So I'm not going to go on the air with you and speculate, but this was an ugly situation all year. And I know the players were unhappy. I know, the administration wasn't real pleased. I know Bakari kind of had to climb an uphill battle with some individuals and it just didn't work out. And, you know, his best player, Jaleel Hogan, was a big man that unfortunately could not stay eligible academically. And Bakari, you know, look, some of these coaches slide these guys onto the floor somehow. Bakari did not want to do that. And I don't blame him because it would have been maybe a violation. So to get fired after 2 years when he had signed, I believe, a 6-year contract for a good chunk of change, it's pretty gross. And I feel bad for him because I think he needed more time. And I also think he needed more support. So, yeah, you look at the record and say 16-47. To me, I think this is what's going to take place is Jermaine Jackson, who for some odd reason was named the interim coach. I've never heard, Matt, of a school naming an interim coach when it's not during the season. I understood with Rick Pitino, when he got let go, they had to hire an interim coach in place, because I believe that was over the summer and right before workouts. So for this, we're still in March. Why are you naming Jermaine Jackson interim coach? I think the reason they are is because he's going to be the guy. And I think he's going to save some of the players that wanted to leave. But that type of scene, that type of situation can't be good for anybody.
Yeah, like you said, a guy who was kind of the homecoming, the home run hire thought of 2 years ago, and now two bad years on the court, and a little bit of, like you said, and I don't know enough other than what's been published in some articles, and obviously the other side of the story hasn't been out there with Coach Alexander, but just a strange time going on for a proud program that I grew up watching and following and going to the NCAA tournament every other year and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully they can get it back on track at U of D. But you got the Locked On Lions podcast every day here on the network. And Matt, as you talk about on the show, you've got your eyes on a prospect for the defensive line for the draft. Tell us about the guy you like at number 20.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you listening, Matt, and promoting it. We promote you every day. I think Vita Vea, the D tackle from Washington, I don't think he's going to be there at 20, but if there's somehow, some way, teams are trading up, Buffalo needs a quarterback, obviously the Jets have moved up. If there's somehow, some way, the teams start moving up to grab players that they're targeting, hopefully on the offensive side of the ball, that then allows some of these defensive players to slide down, and then that would move a Vita Vea for maybe 15 or even 19 with Dallas to 20 to Detroit. I just think he is a dominant D tackle that can get to the quarterback and stop the run. You put him next to A'shaun Robinson, and I understand it too. The Lions have made a couple of signings, and they're not done, I don't think, in signing some of these fringy free agents. Maybe some D tackles are coming, and they have A'shaun Robinson, and they have Akeem Spence from last year, and have added a couple of other guys. But I just think that Vea, I just love watching him play. And I think he would be a tremendous addition for the Lions, who need help at defensive line. With that being said, I also think they're targeting defensive ends. This kid from Florida, Brian, could be a possibility. Harold Landry from Boston College, because he's got the ties to Paul Pasqualoni, who's now the defensive coordinator here in Detroit and was Landry's D-line coach at BC. Arden Key could be there as a gamble from LSU, who left school last year and basically quit school. But he's arguably, after Chubb, the second best pass rushing prospect out there. So I view the Lions as looking D tackle or D end at 20. Many people are going to ask, well, they're going to go running back. Could Darius Geis go at 20? Don't think they're going linebacker. They've signed already 3, 4, 5 free agent linebackers, Christian Jones and Devon Kennard and the kid Freeney from New England. So they've added a ton of linebacking help. So I'm looking at this at being probably a D tackle or D end at 20. And I'd probably also think a D tackle or D end possibly in the third round as well.
Now, Matt, you've been here in the Detroit area for many years now, and what a world that we're living in, that the Lions are pretty much universally regarded as the most stable and successful current franchise in Detroit. I mean, how does that work? What has happened over these past couple of decades?
You know, Matty, I brought that up yesterday on my show, that you look at it right now, because Martha Firestone Ford was at the owners' meetings and the reporters down there asked her for a comment. She didn't want to talk, and she's not a talker. Can't recall the last time she took questions or even spoke in front of the media. It might have been when they hired Bob Quinn. But you're right. I mean, the Tigers are going through a full-fledged rebuild. I don't trust the general manager there to get it done. It's the same guy that gave Mark Lowe a 2-year contract, one of the worst signings in baseball free agent history. And people are going to go, oh, you're overdoing it. What are you talking about? That was a horrific contract. So is Pelfrey's. So is Zimmerman's. So that's the guy presiding over that. The Pistons are obviously kind of spinning their wheels. The Red Wings apparently are bringing back Ken Holland and Jeff Blashill, and they just got done losing 13 out of 14 games. So you're right. Michigan basketball and the Lions are kind of the darlings of the area right now. And the Lions do have some stability. The Ford ownership is there. They've put a ton of money into their own building. They hired Bob Quinn, who I think has been a pretty good hire so far. And he's hired Matt Patricia, who's got the Belichick pedigree and apparently is highly regarded around the league. So you do view the Lions as a team that, I'm not saying save the city, but they have enough talent where they should be competing for that division this year. But what's interesting is Green Bay got better. Minnesota was a game away from the Super Bowl. and brings everybody back and added Kirk Cousins. So it's not going to be an easy task and a very good NFC for the Lions. But you got Stafford. You got Darius Slay. You hope Jared Davis turns into a stud. You've got, you know, Golden Tate is a perennial Pro Bowler. A healthy Ziggy Ansah can make it to Hawaii. So, yes, I think the Lions do have a good chance to have a good year, but that draft is going to be key to adding some players that they need depth-wise for sure.
And Locked On Lions, the podcast that I was listening to well before I was involved in the network, Matt Derry joining us today. Thanks so much for your support here of Locked On Pistons, always giving us the plug and helping me out. And again, thanks for everything over time as well.
All right, Matt, good to talk to you.
Thanks again to Matt Derry. All those old WDFNers, great guys that I used to work with when I was a part-time producer and also an intern for the morning show too. Jamie Samuelson was on the show recently. He was a mentor, still is a mentor of mine. Greg Brady. We'll have Mike Stone on at some point. Hopefully Wojo's a great guy who has helped me out over the years as well. Sean Belegian, Rob Pasco, real good dude. Johnny Klimchuk, who was my boss and producer. Mr. Roboto, who I got to call up some of those guys and get them on too. Marty Martin, producer extraordinaire. Just a great person that I've known over the years as well. Great group of folks that I worked with and interned for a lifetime ago in Farmington Hills. But the Pistons, like I said, tonight against the Washington Wizards at home, and then the weekend at the Knicks and the Nets on Saturday and Sunday. We got some different type of guests and content coming next week, and I'm excited to learn about some of that stuff with you and see what's what with a topic that you may not know much about, but something that's in the news is the NBA and the Pistons coming up soon, more so in the offseason. Also, wanted to pass along the Mitten Classic, a high school All-Star basketball game at 2 p.m. on Saturday at Southfield Lathrop High School. Go check that out. They're on Twitter if you want some more info, if you want to look at the rosters as well. Like I said, the Mitten Classic. I'm going to try to head up there, so come say hi if you see me there on Saturday afternoon. Just ask everyone there if they're me or not, and you might find me. So obviously, Saturday evening, Michigan against Loyola in the Final Four on Saturday night. Go Blue there, and give us a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, aptly titled at Locked On Pistons. And also give the Facebook page a like at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Thanks again to Matt Derry of Locked On Lions for joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter at Derry Speaks, and also the Matt Derry Facebook fan page where he drops all the Locked On Lions links as well. Also, like I said, maybe no show on Friday, but maybe there will be. No promises either way, but I'll be downtown for opening day today, so if you see me, say hi to me there as well, ducking against all the rain. But either way, we'll definitely talk on Monday with the Locked On Pistons podcast, so have a great holiday weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening.